can it be? The mystery of God's love. He loves because He wants to. And the objects of His love are very particularly chosen. He doesn't throw out a wide net and just whatever comes, comes. He saves you. Intentionally and personally, He saves you through His Son. That's amazing love. Please turn to Matthew chapter 2. The Gospel of Matthew chapter 2. It's in the Pew Bible. It's page 807. And we'll read verses 1 through 12 of Matthew chapter 2. Let's pray together. Your love, O Father, expressed in the giving of Your Son, Your love for us. Father, we pray, as You have told us this in Your Word, as You have revealed Yourself, You have revealed Your Son, Your Spirit, that we would be careful to pay attention to it, and we would be persistent in seeking out Christ more and more, even as He's revealed in the Scriptures. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. This is the Word of God that God Himself has given under inspiration of His Holy Spirit, so you can rely on what you hear. These words. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is He who has been born King of the Jews? For we saw His star when it rose and have come to worship Him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet. And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word that I too may come and worship him." After listening to the king, they went on their way, and behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way. And that is the word of the Lord. And it is a very familiar word. It's one perhaps you have heard ever since you were a child, every Christmas time. And hopefully you heard it more than just at Christmas time. You heard this word being taught to you, maybe stories when your parents would read to you from the Bible. This is a very popular story. You get it from Luke, you get it from Matthew. And you come and you read these because it's so vivid for the imagination to grasp these things that took place at this time in the history of salvation with the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And it all is given to us in Matthew as a prologue. That doesn't mean it's just of minor importance. It's actually of great, great, great importance to Matthew's whole book, as a prologue is, an introduction. It's something that sets the tone. It helps you to understand what to expect as you read the rest of this wonderful book and all its chapters, and see Christ as He's ministering. See as the words bring to your mind this Master as He heals the sick and heals the blind and speaks such words of wisdom that the people would say, "This man speaks with authority, unlike all the other people we have come to hear." Matthew takes us from Jesus, the King of the Jews, to Jesus, the King of the world. Throughout the whole book, Matthew is taking us from this Jesus who was born in Bethlehem to be King of the Jews, a descendant of Abraham, a descendant of David, to Jesus who really is the King of the Kingdom, as our church sign out front says as we try to introduce our neighbors to this new teaching series, the King and His Kingdom. Well, He always remains the King of the Jews. That never stops. But King of the believing Jews. But the believing Jews, His kingdom over that people, is actually a kingdom that is far bigger than can be limited to that circle of natural descent from Abraham and the 12 tribes of Jacob. So it's so much more that is intended even by this word. This move out from King of the Jews to King of the world ends, of course, in the Great Commission. But it has, throughout the book of Matthew, little snippets, little stories. And when I say story, and you hear me say that, I don't mean fiction. I mean true narrative historical events. But He gave us stories. He gave us these things, these truths. This true reality, this work of the Lord Jesus Christ to help us to see who He is and what He has done and what He will do. So throughout the book of Matthew, you find introductions to this gospel going out to the Gentiles. So this Jesus is not to be limited just to the people of Israel. There's more to this man. This miraculously conceived child who is both God and man than just what can be held in a little place called Palestine. It was a much bigger world then, and certainly it's perceived much greater now as the whole of the earth has been seen and contact has been made, and now we communicate through planes and through phone. But the first glimpse at the breadth of this big circle comes from this story, from this event, from the Magi who come from the east. Matthew shows us through the Magi that those, no matter what their lineage or descent, no matter what their race, their color, or where they come from, their background, their language, no matter what it is, those who follow God's word find Jesus. Those who study and follow God's word will find and meet Jesus Christ, who the whole of the word of God speaks of. Those who seek Him will actually meet Him. Again, like the other couple sermons, and I think we've got a couple more that cover the scriptures of Matthew from what we had seen already in December of last year in our Christmas celebration and time on Sunday morning. So this is maybe covering a little bit differently than we did in December, but Lord willing, profitably, as we draw from God's own word. First, the Magi learned from the little light that they had. The Magi learned from the little light that they had. God's word was always intended for a greater audience. It was always intended for a greater audience. God was not surprised that the scriptures become translated in all these different languages and spread throughout the world. God always intended this word to be spread, to be known, a much wider audience. Creation, Paul says, is certainly God's natural revelation, was intended to be seen, believed, understood by man, His eternal power and divine nature, by the things that He has created, so that man throughout the world is inexcusable. God has revealed Himself, and His creation was not just revealed to Israel. His creation was revealed to all mankind that lives on the earth. That God is a creator. That He has this great power. He has this great divine majesty. Now, that's general revelation to all people. No one escapes its truth, though many try to suppress it. But such clear general knowledge sets the stage for the introduction of more special, particular revelation of God. That being the revelation of His covenant of grace. And the Word has already gone out to a wider audience, even in the Old Testament. Let me give you a few examples. And just to, because when we get to the Magi, you'll see, yeah, it makes sense. Okay, so we'll get there, but there was a man named Abimelech. He was a ruler in a place called Gerar. And Abraham and Sarah, in Abraham's wandering days, traveled there. And Abraham, afraid, because his wife was so beautiful, that his wife would be taken from him, he would be killed, and then his wife would be taken from him, said that Sarah was his sister. Well, Abimelech thought that Sarah was available and took Sarah to be his own. But that night, God spoke to Abimelech. And he said, the woman is already married, and you're going to die because you've taken a married woman. But that's not all that God said to Abimelech. It was not just the charge of Abimelech, you are committing adultery and you're going to die. Abimelech was told that Sarah's husband was a very special man, that he was a prophet. Very little knowledge, but important knowledge. It was God's revelation that Abraham was very important to God. There was a little bit of light that God would have even Abimelech to hear and to know that Abraham is a prophet of God, that he is special, that when he deals with Abraham, he is dealing with God. Pharaoh learned from Moses quite a bit. Pharaoh learned from Moses that Israel was God's peculiar people, that He had covenanted with them. And Pharaoh had come to learn about this covenant, because God was keeping it as He dealt with Pharaoh, that God is a warrior who will defend His people to His enemy's death. Through all the plagues, Pharaoh was told, "Let my people go and come and worship me." Well, Pharaoh came to see that God is not just a distant God who is over a group of people, a group of wandering tribes in the wilderness of Palestine, but that they were a people, that rather He was a God who dealt with nations on behalf of His people. That's important to know. That's special revelation. Pharaoh, those are my people, and you are to let them go. And every curse showed God's power against Pharaoh and his gods. Special revelation. Pharaoh was meant to hear it and to know it. Balak, who was a king of Moab, hired a crooked prophet. And he hired that prophet because he wanted to curse Israel, because nations were falling by the wayside as Israel marched through on its way up to the land that God had promised to give them. So This king hires this prophet named Balaam. And what he ended up learning by special revelation was that, again, Israel had God on their side and were ultimately unstoppable. But he also learned this. Numbers 24:17-19. Balaam, the crooked prophet, but who had to and could only tell God's word, what God gave him, says this: "I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not near. A star shall come out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel. It shall crush the forehead of Moab and break down all the sons of Sheph. Edom shall be dispossessed. Seir also, his enemies, shall be dispossessed. Israel is doing valiantly, and one from Jacob shall exercise dominion and destroy survivors of cities." That is, there's a king of Israel who will make short work of all his enemies. That his dominion is not a limited general dominion. That it is a broad and wide dominion. This is a glimpse, this is a special revelation that is revealed to someone outside of the people of Israel. And it's important information that they had to calculate what to do next. Then there was a tribe of people living in Gibeon. Joshua and the armies had moved up the eastern side of the Jordan River. They would be coming in. Jericho would be destroyed. They heard what had happened to the Egyptians, to the Amorites, to Sihon, king of Heshbon, and Og, king of Bashan. And they said, well, the only hope we have is to come under their protection. So the story goes, they dressed up as if they had been traveling for months, and they took stale bread so that it would look like that their trip was so long that their food went bad before they got there. They had actually lived right in the same area, and they would have been condemned to death had they not been promised protection and to be the servants of the Israelites. But they learned something about God's people. Now move to the time of the exile. And there are four young men, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, who become important in the court of the king, particularly Daniel. Israelite youth taken captive, Daniel given favor because he was given wisdom from the Lord. When the king had a dream, it's somewhat of a humorous story because the wise men, the magi, the Chaldeans, the magicians, and they came and they said, okay, king, tell us your dream, then we'll give you interpretation. He said, no, I know you folks. I know how you are. You're going to let me tell you, then you're going to give me some interpretation. Well, here's, you tell me what the dream is and then give me the interpretation. Then I'll really know that you know something. And they couldn't, and they were afraid, and Nebuchadnezzar was ready to kill them until Daniel comes forward and has the word of the Lord, what the dream is and what the interpretation is. Nebuchadnezzar got an earful of God's special revelation, and he was outside the people of God. And so did the wise men of Babylon. They heard about from Daniel about the true God, about one who would come forth with such dominion, and all the great empires of the world would be destroyed by this one. Well, the Magi from the east, we don't know exactly where in the east. Guesses have been given, as you can imagine, Persia, Babylon, that they were from a particular area. But whoever they were, whatever particular nation they were Magi. They were considered wise men who sought, particularly they studied the stars. Not just astrologers saying, you know, Pisces in the third house, so, you know, you're going to have a bad day to gamble, so you better not. But they studied the stars and the movement of the stars. And they also understood or saw and thought that the stars were portents of events to happen in the future. So they did have that. But they were wise men. They studied the scrolls, the books of the people around them, as well as their own. They studied learning. They were learned men, court counselors. What is it that they saw that told them about this star that rose in the east? What is it that captivated them that they would come to Jerusalem and seek out the King of the Jews? We are not told specifically. Perhaps Numbers 24, that news given to Balak by the crooked prophet Balaam, which was God's revelation. Perhaps they join that together with Daniel 7:13-14. I saw in the night visions, and behold, with the clouds of heaven there came one like a son of man. And he came to the Ancient of Days and was presented before him, and to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all peoples and nations and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom one that shall not be destroyed. A king, a star, dominion. How did they put the pieces together? We don't know, but they had pieces, and it's not surprising that God's revelation was not limited to the Jews. That somehow it was spread out for a greater audience, even an audience of magi at the time of Christ. This one, whom everything seemed to point to, is the king to know and to worship. Not just a minor king, but a major one. the truth that rises above every other religious fable, because you know they knew other religions as well. They knew fables, they knew stories. They knew the records of the Babylonians and the Persians, the Assyrians and the Egyptians, likely the Greeks as well. And here is finally one that has a fulfillment. Here is finally one that shows up in their own time. Here's one that they can lay their hands on. Here's one that says there's a star pointing to it and there's an actual physical place to go. And there's an actual people that are still there to receive Him. It was a little light and it went a long, long way. Bible translations aren't always coming in whole. That is, they don't wait until they have all the books of the Bible translated to get them into the hands of people. They get what they translate what they can and they put it in the hands of people. And they put it in the hands of people. A little light goes a long way. A little light of God's revelation goes a long way. Through our missionaries, a little light goes a long way. They can't in years teach the whole of the Bible. A little light, the fall, the promise of a Redeemer, the coming of Christ, a little light, and people come to worship Him. But now, for Balaam, and particularly for Balak, for Nebuchadnezzar and the kings of Babylon and Persia, the word that they heard from Daniel meant destruction. Destruction for those who did not know Him. But now it's not a threatening word. Now the Magi come and it's not because they've been threatened. They come and they bring gifts. Now the word is drawing the nations in. And the Magi were drawn by what they saw and by the one to whom that star, whatever that heavenly body was, and what it meant. And they were drawn to Him. The Magi made use of a little light. Brothers and sisters, we have more than a little light. And what does it do for us? What ought it do? Well, more of that in the second point. The Magi were persistent in seeking more light. The Magi were persistent in seeking more light. They traveled. The wise men from the east came to Jerusalem. Of course, where else would you go to get information about the King of the Jews? Now, the Bible is, we call it the good book, and there's a reason why we call it a good book. It is a good book. Those who recognize that is a good book have interest in knowing more. Interest in knowing more about that little light that they've received. Now, what else does it say? For instance, where is this King of the Jews to be born? That's a good question. And how do we find that out? And where do we go? Well, go to the capital of Israel. Go to Jerusalem. Let's go there. They were interested and persistent in seeking out more light. It wasn't enough that a king was born. It wasn't enough that they just knew this information and can talk about it among themselves in their place somewhere in the east. They said, we've got to go there. We've got to go find out where He is. We've got to take this little light and we've got to expand it. We've got to dig in. We've got to find out more. And so they went to Jerusalem with their question. Now the child, given Herod's killing of those 2 years and younger in Bethlehem. Now, some say Herod gave a wide, broad swath for the killing, that the child may have been an infant just out of the manger. But likely Jesus was between a year and 2 years old. Some time has passed. The Magi had traveled. They saw the star rising. And Herod did specifically ask when they saw the star rising, which indicates he probably used that in governing who he was going to kill when he finds out it's Bethlehem. So whether they were following the star for months or a year, or however long they were on their journey, one thing is for sure, they were persistent. They didn't stop. The news didn't get old for them. That little light, that little nugget of information didn't get old for them. They didn't get bored with it when they made it perhaps around the dead, not the Dead Sea, that's to the south, but the Sea of Galilee. When they come over from the east, usually travel up around the north and down into Palestine, that they didn't get bored. They didn't say, you know what? We've heard no news in the other caravans traveling around about this king. Now, let's just go home. The Magi wanted more. The star was significant, to be sure. How they related it to the King of the Jews, we don't know. But they did. But we do know that they sought more revelation and followed the sign to that logical place of Jerusalem. There's a lot of wisdom in that. There's a lot of wisdom in just the fact that they knew where to go to get more information. Everyone knows, and that it's not knowing everything that makes you smart. It's knowing where to find the information. Knowing how to use a card catalog in the library from when we were kids. Knowing how to use a card catalog is huge information. You are wise if you make use of the card catalog. Now, you go onto the internet, you go to the library search, you can get all the information other ways. But knowing how to use the internet now, because they don't have card catalogs. Knowing where to get the information. They were dogged, determined to get answers to their questions because this is a king they wanted to worship. Where do you go to get more information? I said, well, obviously the answer is the Scripture. But there's more to that answer than the Scripture. What if you don't know where in Scripture to go? The Magi didn't. Evidently, there was a piece of the puzzle that they didn't have, that they didn't put together, because they didn't know it was Bethlehem. But they went to others who did know. They went to Jerusalem. They had an audience with Herod. Herod gathered the chief priests and the scribes. They came and said, well, here's what the prophet says. Jerusalem and Judah. That's where it's going to happen. No means the least among the rulers of Judah. From you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. There you have it from what our brother read in the prophet Micah. Do you ever go to an older Christian to get more light? When it's something you don't know, when it's something about Christianity that you're wrestling with, something about the faith that you're wrestling with, is there someone whom you can go to? Is there an older, wiser man, older, wiser woman that you're willing to be persistent in pursuing what they know about God and what they know from God's Word and hearing it because you are after knowing Christ more? The Magi were after knowing more about Christ. And another question is, are you the kind of person someone can ask? If there is a child looking for Bible information, and they won't come at it that way, but they'll ask about God. Is God this way? Does God do this? Did Jesus ever this? Are you a teenager who can answer that because you're older than those little ones? Are you someone to whom someone can go and get the information they need? Really, we all should be. Certainly the elders and the pastor ought to be men who someone can approach and ask. Doesn't mean we know everything. But can certainly help to get some answers if it's an answerable question. But it's not just the elders and the pastor who ought to be those to whom someone can come who is persistent in knowing Jesus Christ. So two questions. Are you persistent in knowing Jesus Christ? And are you someone who is persistent can come to? Age may have something to do with it, but everyone can be a help to someone. Finally, the Magi worshiped Jesus even when others would not. Seekers should not catch those who know by surprise. And they did. Well, Herod's ignorance is not really surprising, because Herod was a king descendant from Edomites. And his grandmother, I think, was Jewish. But for generations, those kings had played with Jewish politics and setting up high priests to serve them, and getting control of the palace and the temple was all this big mix. So it's not surprising that Herod was ignorant. He was a politician. He knew how to play the game. What is interesting, however, is that the Magi saw the sign, and it was obvious to them that the King of the Jews was being born, but no one else seemed to know about it in Jerusalem, and certainly in the palace of Herod. The Magi knew, and the others did not. In fact, Herod was troubled at the news, and it says all Jerusalem were troubled with him. They were troubled by the news of the King of the Jews, surprised and troubled. And what this meant for their city, and what it meant for their relationship with Rome, tenuous, and what it meant for Herod, who was mean and wicked and vile and cruel. No wonder they were all afraid. It's also interesting that the shepherds mentioned by Luke, who went about telling of the birth of Jesus and what they saw of the angel host, the angelic host, and what was told to them about the birth of this child. It was spread, and those who heard it wondered at it. Somehow it never got to those who ought to have been interested in it. And when it does come to them, they are troubled by it. But within this, and again, this is Matthew's prologue. This is his introduction. He's saying, people from outside your circle will come to know him, and many within the circle will not. Many in the circle will not. This revelation is meant to go beyond just the Jews. Those who should have been seeking him were not. Those who should have been waiting expectantly were not. They were content with their knowledge. They were not looking to get more out of that knowledge, not looking to expand it and grow in wisdom. Worship certainly was not their goal, but it was the goal of the Magi. And it is this contrast that Matthew points out, that issues into what becomes the theme throughout his book, that there are those outside of Israel who will come, and that Christ intends to be king not only of the Jews, but of the whole world, because the kingdom is given to him and dominion, as Daniel the prophet said. It may be this way for those who understand the smallest truth about Jesus. Jesus said to let the little children come. And the disciples thought, well, you know, they're children. They're getting away. They're underfoot. They're pests. Send them away. And Jesus said, of such is the kingdom of heaven. Those who know little. Just those who have the faith the size of a mustard seed. The kingdom's theirs. Faith the size of a mustard seed. A little light goes a long way. And those who are persistent in pursuing that light, those who are not content to have faith the size of a mustard seed, but want to see that grow and become a tree and bear fruit, they find Jesus. They find him and they meet him. And they grow in their understanding of him. And the Magi's persistence really was rewarded. And they went to Bethlehem, into the house where there was Mary and the boy. And they worshipped him. We're not told anything else that happened there. Not told how many of them there were. We are told that they gave gifts. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. A king. A god. and one who would die. They found what they were looking for. Rather, they found the one whom they were looking for. They were undeterred by all the books that they had studied. And if you think general universities are tough on believing kids, I imagine where the Magi went to school, it was pretty tough if you were interested in knowing about the King of the Jews. But they persisted, undeterred by the distance that they traveled, undeterred by their own ignorance. They were undeterred even by the humble dwelling where they found this one who was born King of the Jews. Not in Herod's palace, but just a house in Bethlehem. And they were led to worship Jesus, and nothing would stop them. Do you see how great and glorious Jesus is? We've been talking about the Magi, but this is all about Jesus, really. Who is worthy of such persistence? Who is worthy of everything else being set aside and every distraction and every barrier should be climbed over, crawled through, blasted through, walked around, and gotten through till you meet Jesus? Is He worth your persistence? Do you think Him worth your persistence? Is He worth persisting in worship, in worship, in worship, in worship, and coming before? Is this the kind of King, the kind of Lord? Is this the God whom you are going to worship, come as they say, hell or high water? Shall anything stop you from honoring Him and worshiping Him? Jesus is worth our persistence in bringing Him worship. May God help us to gather more light, to seek more light, to learn more. Brothers and sisters, we're not even close to knowing exhaustively everything we could know. God help us to be persistent in learning, though, and growing wise with the great object of worshiping Him who is worthy to be worshiped. Let's pray. Lord Jesus Christ, King of heaven and earth, whose lowly birth hid within that frail frame in that house in Bethlehem, the one who is Lord of the universe. Lord Jesus Christ, forgive us when we let so many things get in our way of worshiping You. When we have grown content, or worse, bored with the light that we have. Forgive us, O Lord, if we have not presented ourselves to our young brothers and sisters as those who are open to be asked questions, who want to share Jesus Christ with them. Years of experience walking with Him, studying Your Word so that we can have a good word to share to someone who's troubled or someone who's seeking. Forgive us, O Lord, and also, O Lord, we thank You for the light You have given us that has drawn us to Jesus Christ, even today, to worship Him, to bow down and give our gifts of praise. Be praised, O Lord. And we ask all of this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.